this is our team. Some of them are missing. Some of them are too young to be in shifts. We said, do not come. No, I'm just kidding. No, they're just going to be here tonight. But look at them. Aren't they beautiful? Don't they look like missionaries? They still look unshowered and I'm just kidding. No, they're beautiful. So definitely God spoke to a lot of people. We'll see how many we can get in there. But who would like to share something first? Something happened in the trip. Marissa, all right.
Open this up. Hey, so I was the frizzy haired blonde one and my hair was just so big the whole time. So I think one of my best moments was easily when we went to a feeding program. And it was, mind you, like all the buildings out there are like fully like concrete and brick. So when you're standing in them, it's like 90 plus humidity and you're just sweating. Like my mustache was sweating, like it was a mess. And so I won't talk about that. But my favorite moment was when we were at this feeding program and I was giving an altar call, and one of my most worrisome parts was having to give an altar call and not speak Spanish. So obviously Pastor Paul was translating for me, but if you've ever worked with a translator, it's very awkward. You're like stopping every 2 seconds. And so I think I was worried about like the flow of it. Like I was like, these kids aren't gonna get anything because like, my flow is weird. I'm stopping. Like it was funky, guys. And so I think what spoke to me in that moment was because actually like the whole room of kids were so excited they raised their hands. And I think what got to me at that moment was that God's language is universal. And he speaks in love. And that's what they heard. So, yeah.
Love is the language, people. All right, anyone else? Oh, okay, you got a mic over there.
Hello, testing. Can you hear me? Okay. Hi, I'm Ariel. So the part that... Sorry if I've talked to you since I got back. You're going to have to hear this all over again. It was just really life-changing going over there. I actually told myself like a year ago, I was like, I will never go on a mission trip. I'm too germaphobe. I have no desire to go to a third world country. I'm good. So, but God really put it on my heart, and I was so glad that I went, because the people over there, they change you, you know. Going over there, you kind of think like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm probably going to help feed people. I'm going to go love on people and I'm going to go and I'm going to make a difference. And you go and they make you feel unholy, you know, like they are so godly and so like chasing after God that they encourage you. But that's the beauty of, you know, the unity of the church is, you know, we brought something to them, and going over there, they brought something to us. Like the first night I was there, I was actually feeling really guilty. Sorry, I hope I don't take too long. I was feeling really guilty of everything that I have, you know, going over there and seeing how they don't have anything. One of the churches that we were at, they took up offering, and every single person went up there and gave offering, you know, and I was feeling so guilty for all that I have. I was like, that's it. When I go back home, I'm just selling everything I have. I'm just going to devote my life to the poor. But I actually had a talk with Beth, and what she told me was really why. She was like, it's just about, you know, using what you've got, you know, to be generous and to go love on those people. So they just really changed me, their hearts. You know, we would go into a church service, and the flies there are just like so bold. They are not afraid to land on you. They will just, swarms will just land on you, and you're like, try not to make a scene, you know? And it's so hot, and all they have is fans in there, and they're all worshiping God with everything, you know? And we have this fancy sound system and all this nice lighting. We have air conditioning, and sometimes, and it's not to make you guys feel bad, I've had those days too where you just don't want to worship, but they were just, their hearts were just like, you know, they don't need all of that fancy stuff. They were there for God. They were there because they want to hear their word. They weren't there for their friends or just because they had nothing to do, nothing else to do with their night. They had a true passion for God. And that's what changed me the most, was just feeling like, even though they said that we did stuff for them, which I believe we did, but they really showed me, like God used them to show me, you know, what a true heart for Jesus is like. So, yeah. Sorry, I talk a lot.
That's good. Those flies, they're terrible. Anyone else? Claire? Claire's on the mic, yo.
Hi, guys. I'm Claire. I went with just a very open heart. I didn't really know what to expect, and all I could do was just prepare spiritually, and I probably should have prepared better mentally because I was so tired by the end of it. It took so much out of us to be there for, it was only a week, but it just took so much, and I think going, I didn't really know, I had a few expectations, but something that I didn't expect was like where I found my happiness. And when I went and I was talking to, my Spanish was very broken, but I could get, you know, very common words and like asking them, you know, what do you want? You know, what do you want to be? What do you need? And, you know, the kids want to be engineers and they want to be doctors and they want to do these big things. And it just shows like God puts these things on their hearts, like without any exposure to the outside world, you know, God puts these things on their hearts with them. And it just, they were so happy, all of them. Like, we brought out face painting and we just danced with them and we just spent, and it was just the little things that made them so happy. And I think it just showed like they really find everything that they are in God. And it really made me reflect on myself and where do I find my happiness, you know, like getting coffee on Fridays or going out with friends, you know, but they don't have those. That's a privilege, and they find their happiness with each other and in God. And it just really made me reflect and say, you know what, I have everything to be happy. And before I left, I kind of struggled with like, where was my center? Where did I find it? And when I got home, I was like, oh, I've always had this inside of me, you know, like God really does bring joy. And I saw that with all of the kids and all of the adults, you know, they never asked for more. They never said that they needed something, you know, because God provided for them and made them happy. And I discovered my happiness when I got back through them.
That's good. Woo! Let's pass it over to that side. We've been hogging the mic over here. Anyone from that side? Jasmine. Oh, Jasmine.
I guess I could kind of go off of, I'm Jasmine, by the way. Anyways, I could go off of what Claire and Ariel were saying about their joy. Like the first night that we were there, it was like a poor area, I guess, of the country that we visited. And the church that we visited, they didn't have a church building. Like they were worshiping, it seemed like in a warehouse. Kind of there was even, I think, a trailer parked in there. And they were just worshiping, and they were so joyful. And I remember one of my favorite parts of the trip was when they were dancing. They put on a dance for us to welcome us, which was like so sweet. And then at the end, Beth had us dance the cha-cha slide or something with them. Yeah,
very holy. So, very holy. God speaks through everything, people. Yeah. The cha-cha slide.
But like, I don't know, some of us didn't know Spanish, some of us did, but just dancing with them and being able to, you know, just have fun with them, and it was like family. It kind of reminded me of like family and how like we as a church are family no matter where we go. We're all, you know, God's children, and it just felt like a family welcoming us there. So that was really what I liked. I don't know.
It's good. Anyone else from your side?
PJ wants to go.
Go ahead, PJ.
The whole experience was awesome. So, you know, me going there, I actually didn't want to go. My wife actually wanted to go. And she got everything all good. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go because I'm going to go because I'm going with you. And then she gets pregnant and we're having a boy. And she's not going. So I'm going all by myself and I'm like freaking out because we don't ever do anything without each other. But it was such an awesome experience. And I think that God really, he did that so that it can show me what I have. And also show me what I can do for my family. And, you know, raise them up to understand that there are people that don't have. And that you can be a light in their path. And I was sharing the other day, too. The way that they worship is awesome. Like, they do the same songs probably all the time, over and over and over again. And they do those songs as if they were, like, a new song every single time. And it just ministered to me because sometimes we come in and we're like, oh, they're doing that song? I don't even like that song. But, like, you know, they do the same songs. And I'm sure, you know, they don't want to hear the same songs all the time. But they just, like, they're just in it. And they just give God everything. And they allow God to just touch them. And they allow the Spirit. They don't allow anything to like stop them from going into the presence of God. Sometimes when we're in worship, we're like, you know, God speak to me, but like just allowing God to just be there in the song. So it just ministered to me. It was an awesome experience. They are not lying about the flies. Those things are crazy. But I had spray that killed them. I didn't get bit. I got bit once. But this spray was literally like burning my skin. That's how. But it protected me. But a lot of awesome experiences. I did things that I would never do. I would never zip line, ever. And I zip lined. I jumped off a boat and screamed like a girl, but I don't care. But I had an awesome time, and these people were, like, each and every individual that went, they, like, really ministered to me. From, you know, Reverend Beth, she literally, like, controlled, she did everything, and it was so awesome because she was so calm through everything, and she, like, you know, she pushed us to do more, and then, you know, Kim, she was an awesome person throughout the whole thing. She was like the one that was like, oh, you need this, you need this, and you need this. And she just was like there to comfort us and to like to help us through things. So like just the whole team was awesome. Everyone had strengths when we were weak. So, that's it.
Good. Woo! All right, we got Jeremiah right here. He's going to share something.
I'm just going to tell a quick story, so bear with me for a second. So the story takes place 33, 35 years ago, in the country of Nicaragua. This man, he had a family, his wife and four kids, and they were lower middle class, but they were fine as a whole, but being at 33, 35 years ago, there was actually a civil war in the nation at the time. A bad civil war, tyrannical government and socialist rebels, or other way around, I forget the details, but either way, that man actually was my grandfather, and he didn't want them to do that. He didn't want his sons, because they were of age, to fight for that. So they left through dangerous paths, because if they got caught, not only would my grandfather would likely be executed, but my father and uncles would likely be sent to go fight in the army and likely die, because it was a bad war. But they stayed faithful, and God led them through walking the entire way. And even when they made it here to the U.S., they couldn't speak English. They couldn't get a job. They didn't have papers, but they kept their strongest faith. I don't know how you can have that kind of faith when you're going through such bad times. Had no job. If you try to apply for something, they could get caught and sent back. And the war was still going on. If they're sent back, same situation. And when I was fine, and that's the story more or less. They kept with their faith, and eventually God blessed them. So when they did go apply for citizenship, they have worked so hard. The government looked at their work and their path, and they said, here's your citizenship. Good job. And so now how this relates is, when we were at Nicaragua, and I just saw the place, even though it is a better times then, outside the churches were amazing, but outside the church, there was just this sense I had that everyone just wanted to get by. And that's the place where my grandfather and my father and uncles came from. So it's crazy to think that in an area or time and place situation where everyone was just trying to get by, they had such strength in their faith. Because for me personally, I'm not sure how it's for everyone else here, but when you're just trying to get by, you're in this kind of middle grounds, you're not trying too hard. No one tries too hard, but they just kept so strong with their faith. It brought my family. I probably wouldn't be here if they had not been so strong with their faith. And what I got from it basically was this. Even when things are or bad, keep with your faith. It may take a while, because as it did with my family, but God will eventually bless you in many more ways than you have ever thought possible, so long as you keep to your faith in him.
Woo! Dang, Jeremiah preaching up here. Hallelujah. All right, we got time for just a few more. Anyone want to jump in? Kim, you got something to say?
Obviously, it was like an awesome experience. I love this whole entire team. They're so awesome. Worship was really great, on a side note. But I really felt like God speak to me. We went to an orphanage, and Jasmine and I were teaching this little boy. Well, we weren't teaching him. He already knew English. But we were practicing his English with him. And he, like, kept, like, trying to get distracted all, like, throughout the whole time. And I'm trying to, like, redirect him because I don't want to get in trouble in another country by the teacher. And so he just, like, asks me, like, randomly. He's like, do you like graffiti? And I'm like, I love graffiti. He's like, yeah, me too. And then he, like, distracts me again. And then he, like, says this guy that's, like, a graffiti artist and does murals all around. And so the teacher comes up, of course. And so she gives me, like, a tour. She lets us go tour around. And he, like, did all the murals at the orphanage. And he's just kind of like a high-risk teen. Like, you could tell he comes from, like, a troubled past. Like, I don't really know his story. But one thing that the teacher was kind of just talking to me about was saying how, you know, he makes a lot of mistakes and he has issues with, like, his, like, anger and things like that. But he's so talented and he's so blessed. And I was just telling her, I think it's amazing that they allow him to express his talent in such a way, you know, just kind of, like, redirect him to the murals. And so I thought it was really amazing and just really spoke to me because I know, like, I serve in youth, and for some odd reason, God just always puts those teens on my path, the ones that are just, like, out partying, drinking, and doing everything that no 14-year-old should be doing, or any adult really should ever do. Put that disclaimer. But and so I struggle with that because I know I wanted to leave youth for a while because I was just feeling like I wasn't really doing anything. And so what that teacher said to me is, like, our job is just to love on them and to continue to love on them because they've already been given up. Like, someone gave up on them and just kind of, like, abandoned them. So all we can do is just continue to love them and just press into them. And if they make a mistake, that's okay. And so, of course, like, I just felt so encouraged by her. And then we're leaving that orphanage. And Pastor Tony and Ryan get on the van and we're getting ready to leave. And that same kid had just gotten in a fight. And I was like, oh, my gosh. But it really just helped and encouraged me to continue on and just to, like, reach to those. Like, God's putting them on my path for a reason. And it was just amazing that God used that opportunity and that teacher to kind of just speak to me to continue on. And so, yeah, that's about it.
Woo. All right, last one, Blanca or Sharon?
All right, Sharon. So, I'm Sharon. Kind of wanted to add off of what Ariel and Claire had said on how these kids just, they didn't say, oh, I need this, oh, I want that, or I'm lacking this stuff. But they were just so happy that we were there and then that we can just love on them and how we were just asking how their day was going, even though we didn't understand them very much, because I don't speak Spanish. It's very hard. And even at the orphanage, like, they were just happy that we were there. We're doing, like, face painting, you know, arts and crafts and stuff like that, making little bracelets and stuff out of those little rubber bands. And, you know, most kids would be like, I'm just going to make my own only. But no, they stopped and they made some for us. Like, I still have mine. They made, like, my bracelet and ring. So, and it was just really cool how they just were excited. Even if you didn't know how to, like, do the face painting, they're happy. If you did a smiley face and didn't really look like a smiley face. But yeah, their love for every little thing is just amazing. So that's what I got.
Yeah, I saw some kids walking around with some crazy looking face paintings that our team did. I was like, these poor kids don't even know. Hide the mirrors, please. It was crazy. Let's give it up for our team. They're amazing. We love you guys. Thank you for sharing. Hey, if you need something, you need to say something?
I just want to give a shout out to Kim. She was my nurse. I got really sick. She woke up with me all throughout the night like my mom would. Okay, thanks.
Oh, my gosh. Kim was our nurse. We all got a little sick. It's okay. So, yeah, I want to encourage you, man, if you would like to go on a mission trip one day. We try to do them every year. We try to do a couple every single year. And it's always a lot of fun. And maybe you're saying, I don't think I'd ever go on mission trips. I don't want to ever go on a mission trip. Man, I tell you what, I remember asking Ariel, do you want to go on a mission trip? And she was like, no. And I was like, that's mean. But she ended up coming, and I was so, so happy that she did. So definitely pray about it. You never know what God wants to do in your life. Oh, cool. I'll just use this, Michael. It's all good. So tonight, like I said, we're talking about Awake My Soul. And I want you guys to open your Bibles to that verse that Jaden read. It's Psalms 57. And what I love about missions trips is they really do awake your soul, because you go and you basically have everything that you thought meant something to you taken away, right? All the food that I love, was taken away and I had to eat food that I don't love. And I love coffee. You know, for a while that was taken away. I couldn't have coffee. My beautiful car that I love, it was taken away. I didn't have a car. I had to take a bus everywhere. Praise the Lord. You know, the things that we think mean a lot. The house, I didn't have a beautiful house to go to every single night. We went to hotels where I don't even want to talk about some of them. And the Lord kept us there. And we had to do all kinds of these things that we think mean so much to us are all taken away. But yet, I always feel just this happiness on a missions trip. But yet, when I was in Nicaragua, I was so fulfilled because it wasn't about all those other things. I had the presence of God with me. And tonight, I really want to talk about the presence of God because it is so important. We read from Psalms 57:7. It says, I'm ready, God, so ready. I'm ready from head to toe, ready to sing, ready to raise a tune. And then it says, wake up, soul, wake up, harp, wake up, lute, wake up, you sleepyhead son. Then listen to this. It says, I'm thanking you, God, out loud and in the streets, singing your praises in town and in country. I just love the way the Bible puts it right there. It says, I am ready. I am so ready, God. I'm ready to go deeper with you. I'm ready to just enter into a place in our relationship we haven't been before. I don't know. Are there any young adults in here who feel like that? Like you are so ready for God to do something? Come on, talk to me tonight. Are you there? He says, I'm ready. I'm so ready. You know, the funny thing is that I think that's a huge prayer for us as Christians, especially young adults. We're always saying, oh, God, take us deeper. We're always saying, God, I want a miraculous thing to happen in my life. God, I want you to change me. I want something great to happen in me. That's our desire, that this miraculous God we read about in the Bible will miraculously do something in us. But it says, I'm ready. And I guess now as I was reading that verse, I just asked myself, Beth, are you ready though? Like, are you really ready? Like, Beth, you pray these big prayers and you say these big things, but do you make room for God to move in your life? Do you make room for his deepness? Do you spend time with him? Do you seek him? That incredible relationship with him that I want, am I really working towards it or is it just an empty prayer? And I was really, my heart was really just working as God was speaking to me. Because if we want those things with God, if we want a divine presence with him, we have to be ready. And so I was reading in, it's 1 John 2:15. If you guys want, you can turn there. If you're feeling lazy, it will be on the screen. No shame in the game. And 1 John 2:15-17. It's a warning. It says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And listen to this. It says, and this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does not, who does what pleases the Lord will live forever. It says this world is fading away. It says there's a craving on the inside of us. How many guys have ever been in a restaurant and like you ordered your food, you're like starving and the other person's food comes first. And you are just looking at that food and you are craving it. Can I ask you tonight, what are you craving? Are we craving the presence of God? Are we craving to spend time with him? Are we craving to pray to God? Man, I can't wait to get out of this class so I can focus and pray with him. Are we craving his presence or are we craving other things? You know, the Bible says those worldly things, they're going to pass away. It's not bad to have a car. It's not bad to have a great job. It's not bad to be in school. Please don't drop out of school and quit all your jobs. Don't do that. But those things only last for a moment. because this world is going to end. But then it says, but those who do what God pleases, those who follow him, those who spend time in his presence, those who reach out to other people, those who are generous, that follows them into something that will never fade away in its eternity. What are we craving? What are we seeking after? Because if we are seeking after his presence, if we are spending time with him, then when he wants to do something, we will be ready. You know, there's this guy in the Bible by the name of Moses. It's in Exodus chapter 19, if you want to read it later. But in Exodus, Moses was leading these group of people to a place called the Promised Land. And what God did is God wanted to seclude Moses at certain times to spend time with him. And so God would call Moses, and Moses would have to climb this mountain. This ain't no Mount Rubido, okay? This ain't no Blue Mountain. This was like a real mountain. And Moses would climb the mountain, and he would be secluded away from all the people. And he'd be secluded, and God would speak to him there. And then Moses would go back down the mountain. He would do what he needed to do. And then God would call Moses to the mountain. He would go all the way up the mountain again, climb it. Finally get up there. God would speak to him. Then he'd go back down the mountain. It would be happening over and over and over again. And God was secluding him. You see, it's one thing to pray a prayer and ask for a deepness for God. But it's a whole nother thing to actually climb the mountain. It's a whole other thing to seclude yourself away and spend time with God and turn your phone on airplane mode and say, you know what? I have to get off social media right now because I need to pray, because I need to spend time with God. It's one thing to say, I want to be that Christian. I want that relationship with God. God, why don't you show me more? God, why don't you give me more? But it's a whole other thing to wake up and pray to God for 5 minutes. You know, a lot of people, they say, man, the most spiritual thing you can do is preach a message. I don't think so. The most spiritual thing you can do is lead people into worship. Not even close. The most spiritual thing you can do is go on a missions trip. I don't think so. I think the most spiritual thing you can do is wake up in the morning, open your Bible, and spend time with God. It's the most spiritual. It's the most powerful. But it's so overlooked. You guys, when you take everything away and you have the presence of God, nothing will compare. If we want to be ready, shift. If we want God to do something deep, we have to go deep with him. And you know, I think this is a really timely message because in just 4 weeks, I think we are going up to the mountain. Those of us who are going to the retreat, I'm really excited. And you know, I got to be honest, I believe that God is going to do something really miraculous up there at that retreat. It's called Trailblazers, and our team has been praying for months now about this. Our team has been preparing for months now for this. But you know what would be good is if the leaders were really ready. I mean, God would move, and if the worship team was ready, I believe God would do something. But what if we started getting ready now? What if everybody that came up on that mountain was so craving the presence of God and so ready for a move of the Spirit? I believe that God would blow through our expectations and he would elevate our experience with him. And so my question tonight is, what are we craving and are we ready? Because God wants to do something in our lives. God wants to take us deeper. Does anybody want to go deeper with God? Let me hear you tonight. You see, God wants to take us deeper, but we need to climb those mountains. And this is one of the last verses I'll read. It's in Psalms. It's in Psalms. Oh, well, it's continuing the verse. It says at the second part, I'm thanking you, God, out loud, in the streets, singing your praises in town and in country. You see, there's something to be said about a soul that's awakened. There's something to be said about a soul that has had God do something in their life. It's a part of you. You have to tell somebody else. When God does something in you, you suddenly are like, man, I need to tell somebody else. And the reality is that God needs you to tell somebody else. God needs you, just like it says, to thank God out loud and in the streets. You know, I think our generation is so loud on social media about everything, But in our real life, we're so quiet about the things of God. And I know I've struggled with this, and I'm a preacher. We're so quiet about how good God is, how faithful he is, everything he's done. And I got to tell you, God needs you to be out there in the streets. God needs you. God needs me to be telling other people what he's done. And I know there's a plethora of reasons why we don't share. But I truly believe that God wanted me to read a verse about one specific reason. And a lot of times we may be saying, you know, that's great, Beth. I know God wants to use me, but we have our doubts. We think, no, I think you should go and tell them, Beth, you're a preacher. I think maybe this other girl should tell them because, you know, she hasn't made as many mistakes. You know, I would love to tell some of my testimony, except I'm still working on my testimony. You know what I'm saying? I still got a little bit of problems. I still got some hangups. And we begin to disqualify ourselves from telling other people about Jesus. But there's this verse, and honestly, I'm running out of time. But there's this verse in Matthew 11. And I'll just give you the gist of it. It's about a man by the name of John. And John actually went to prison for preaching the gospel. John was talking about Jesus being the Savior. John was talking about Jesus being the one and only. And he actually got sent to prison. But then this confusing verse comes. And I love to focus on confusing verses to confuse me. But in Matthew 11, it says that Jesus was speaking to some people in verse 2. It says, John the Baptist was in prison and heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus. He said, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we be looking for someone else? Hold on, John. Wait a second. John went to prison for saying that Jesus was the Savior. And now he's asking, Jesus, are you the Savior? John, you probably should have asked that before you went to prison for that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you should have figured that one out. But I think what happened is that John was with God. In fact, John even saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus. John saw it all. John helped pray for people. John was there. John knew that he was the Messiah. But here in his weakest moments, prison was breaking him down. Doubt was seeping in. Unfaithfulness was filling his heart. And he said, Jesus, are you the one? And I love what Jesus responded. He sent some people back to him. He said, go and tell John that people are being healed, that the sick are being healed, that things are happening. The miraculous is happening in the streets, and tell him I am the one. And the people walk away. And I love what Jesus did. He began to talk behind John's back. He gathered some people. He pulled them in. He said, let me tell you about John. He said, there is none that is greater that have ever lived than John. Jesus said that about John. In John's weakest moment, in the time where John turned his back on Jesus, Jesus said, there is nobody as faithful as John. You see, in your weakest moments, in the times when you feel like, oh my gosh, I've let Jesus down. In the times where you feel like you are not good enough to be used by God, the reality is that Jesus is talking behind your back to somebody, and he is saying, she is faithful. He is faithful. Jesus whispering into your ear, you are forgiven. I love you. I believe in you. Because we need you to be telling others about Jesus. You know, one quick story. A couple weeks ago, I took some young adults, some interns, and I like to do weird things. So we went and we sat in some grass, and I built a little cross and put the cross there. And we sat and we had Jesus time, okay? That's how I like to do things. So we were sitting there and there was a question that someone asked, and they said, what is something that Jesus has done in your life? What is, if you could pick one thing where Jesus has been faithful in your life, what would it be? And, you know, I didn't hear, you know, God got me a new car. I didn't hear God got me a new job. I didn't hear God got me a house. I didn't hear any of that. You know, what went around was, you know, the times when a person was dealing with depression, they talked about walking through some of the darkest times of their life. and Jesus was there. I heard about, young adults dealing with anxiety and not being able to sleep and not being able to even think and so overwhelmed with anxiety, but yet Jesus was there. I heard about young adults who they were diagnosed for cancers, but yet God sent miraculous things to happen and they were healed. I heard about when young adults were feeling so alone and there was nothing that could be done for them, but Jesus was there. I heard about how young adults had parents go to prison, leave them behind, treat them like trash, but yet Jesus reminded them they were a daughter and a son of the Most High. You see, everything else fades away, but the presence of God that sustains you, that's what matters. And as I was sitting there in the grass and I was thinking, gosh, people need to know this. Are there more people in this world that are so depressed and so broken and they don't know about these stories? Are there more people in this world that are so full of anxiety they can't sleep at night and they need to know about this Jesus? The freedom that you and me have gained, we have to share it. The freedom and the forgiveness that you and me have received, we have to tell people because they're broken, because they're hurting. But I don't know about you, but tonight I'm just saying, God, I'm ready. I'm so ready. I'm ready to go deep with you. I'm ready for you to use me. I'm ready to put aside me being comfortable or me being embarrassed or me being ashamed. And I want to see people come to Jesus. Does anybody else in this room want to see people come to Jesus? You know, I want Angel to come up real quick. Is Angel still here? And we're just going to go a couple more minutes. And I promise I'm going to let you out of here. But if I could just have everybody stand real quick. And I want to do something different because, like I said, I like to be weird. But we're not going to get weird. But I want to really push you guys, because how many of you guys are living for Christ right now? You say, Jesus has done something in my life. Right? Anybody? Jesus has done something in your life. So what I want to do right now is we were saying that verse that I want to shout your name in the streets. We have to tell people. In San Bernardino, in Moreno Valley, in Redlands, in Riverside, in Victorville, we have to tell people. But there's people in your life right now that you know, they don't know Jesus. They don't know God. They haven't experienced the freedom and the joy. And what I want to do is create a space tonight for God to move. And I just want you to pray for them. You don't have to get all crazy and start slapping people. No. This is between you and Jesus. No slapping around. But just pray for them. Because sometimes the world is so busy, we don't have time to really pray for them. Pray for their soul. Pray that God would send somebody to get them saved. Pray that they would come to church. Pray that they would be awakened. Pray to, if they're addicted to something, pray that would be broken. If they're in prison right now, pray that God would send somebody to speak to them. A Bible will fall into their hands. We need to pray for them. But I don't know who you need to pray for, but you do. And so I just want to create space, and you can pray for as many people as you want. You're just not allowed to say, Lord, I pray for the whole world. Amen. Okay, we can't do that tonight. Just pray for somebody in your heart, and it's just going to be a few minutes. You can pray out loud. You can pray in silence, whatever you want to do. But let's get a heart for the people that don't know Jesus yet. And let's believe. Because I don't know about you, but I have family members. Well, I'm saying, devil, get your hands off them. Devil, you can't have them anymore. I have some friends in my life, and I just want to shake them. And maybe I can't shake them, but I sure can pray, and I sure can believe for them. So let's do that. She's going to play, and just real quick, let's just go ahead and pray for those in our life. Thank you. God, we just pray for all these souls, Lord. All those who don't know you, all those who are broken without you, God. Use these young adults in this room. Use me, Lord God. Use everybody, God, to reach somebody for you, Father. We are saying we are ready, God. We're so ready for change. We're so ready for your presence. We're so ready for a deepness with you, Father. I thank you, God, that this is the beginning to something big, Lord God. Our faith is out there, God, and we are willing to climb those mountains, to spend time with you, to pick up our Bible, Lord God, to see you do the miraculous. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. You guys can sit down. Praise God. That's good. That's good to take time to pray. We got some prayer warriors up in here. I could feel it. But real quick, before we end tonight,